Hey church, Pastor Adam here. I wanted to say thank you for stopping by for Church Online today. And while we're super excited that you're hanging out with us for this message, we also want to remind you this is just supplemental and it should not and cannot replace the local church in your life. So while we hope today's message shapes and encourages and challenges you exactly where you're at, we also know that we can't be the substitute for the local body. In fact, we believe the church is God's plan A for reaching the world. So if you're in Paducah one Sunday morning, come join us in person for rest. But if not, go and find a local Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching church near you and get plugged in. Jesus loves the church, and we love Jesus, and we believe we can better serve Jesus if we're locally connected, serving her well. So, welcome to rest.
Morning, everybody. Well, Merry almost Christmas. Welcome to our, yeah, I don't know about you, Christmas. Kids in the room, how many of you don't like Christmas? Kids in the room, kids. Not one hand goes up. Yeah, not one hand goes up. Everybody loves a good present, right? I mean, come on. Zeke, is your dad going to get you presents this year for Christmas?
Well, not much, but.
I love it. That's all you, big guy. That's all you. Hey, listen, everybody has, and listen, kids in the room, as you go through life, you will one day have this a Christmas you'll never forget, okay? I've got one of those. When I was 10 years old, I was into this toy. Now, this is like 1977. I was into this toy. Ricky, put that first up on the right. I don't know if any of you have ever seen these, if you're my age or not. These are called Micronauts. Okay, they competed with the Star Wars action figure, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, that kind of thing. They were about the same price, about $2 a piece. That you could get them. You get these a little more available than you could the Star Wars action figures. Everybody loves Star Wars movie, and that didn't have a movie. But anyway, they had the distinction of having interchangeable parts. You could take an arm or a head or a leg off, and you could switch them. So if you had three of these, you really had like 20 toys. Okay, they were really neat. And in 1977, Micronauts came out with the coolest toy ever. It was the Micronaut Battle Cruiser. And it went for about $40, which a 10-year-old kid in 1977 didn't have $40. A lot of parents in 1977 didn't have $40. And so around, I don't know, September, October, I started just hammering my grandmother. I want this for Christmas. This is one for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. It was a broken record. How many parents in the room know what a broken record I want for Christmas is? Yeah, you all do. Everybody does. You all got it. Whatever it is. And she was like, well, I don't know, you know, it's $40 and that's a lot of money. And she was, you know, single parent, a lot of money. And she worked at a bank, so didn't make a lot of money. So she's like, Carl, I don't know if you're going to get that for Christmas. That's all I want for Christmas. Just that. I don't want anything else. Nothing else. Just that. So Christmas comes. Christmas Eve. We open our presents on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve comes. And I'm opening the presents, and you know, I'll get my present. We had a lot of people there, cousins, that kind of thing. Everybody's there. Christmas Eve at my great grandparents' house, and I get my first present, and that's it. I open it up, and it's a T-shirt. And then I open the next present, socks. Another present, some obscure toy. I don't even know what it was. I didn't even want. I mean, just whatever. And as the presents in the tree, under the tree, started to get smaller and smaller and smaller, I started to get worried. I wasn't getting this for Christmas. And as the last present came out from under the tree and didn't go to me, I didn't get that That was not under the tree. That present was not under the tree. And as a 10-year-old kid with his heart set on this for Christmas, I was devastated. I was devastated. I started crying. I went to my room. I just went away from everybody. I had a meltdown. I was, and in my thought process, it's like, did she not hear me? Does she not love me? Because this is all I wanted, that present. That's what I wanted. And, okay, a 10-year-old kid, and we all know, you know, hey, sometimes you can't afford things. Sometimes you just forget. Sometimes you just decide, the parents just decide, no, you're not getting that. We all get it. Everybody in the room gets it. But when you're 10, you don't get it. When you're 10, it's a big deal. So, processing that and moving to today, right? How many in the room have ever had great expectations of something that just didn't come to pass? Maybe it was a promotion you didn't get. Maybe it was a relationship you were sure of that would have gone forever, but he left, or she cheated, or you both just drifted apart. Or maybe it was a financial crisis you didn't see coming, or an addiction you can't seem to kick. Or how about a betrayal of a friend? Have I ever been there? And then when it's all said and done, in the midst of all of that, a God who is silent, who doesn't seem to be involved in your life like your pastor and your church and everyone else says he will be. Everybody's been disappointed. Everybody in the room knows what disappointment looks like, knows what it is. I learned at 10 years old what disappointment looked like. I learned a lot younger than that what disappointment looks like. It is a common theme. We all understand it. We all understand what it's like to want and expect and not get. We all get it. We all get it. And in that, whether you say it out loud or whether you say it in your mind, you think, come up with things like, hey man, I never expected that to happen. Or maybe you look up to the sky and say, where were you? Or why did you say no? Or how could you let this happen to me? Because you say you love me. How could you let me go through that? And listen, let me tell you something. Those are good questions to ask. They really are. God is an omniscient, means he knows everything, and an omnipotent means he has all power. He has both. You know, it's one thing. You could have one and not the other. You could be all-knowing but not all-powerful, so you know everything, but you don't have any power to do anything about it. Or you could have all power and not know everything, so you don't know what to do and when to do it. But he has both. So he's not afraid of your questions. Your questions don't surprise him. Your doubts don't surprise him. He can handle you being real with him. So I have found in 58 years of perpetual motion on this planet that when you're dealing with God, it's best just to be real and just to be open and just to be honest and let him handle it, because he can handle it. That was free. That was kind of not part of this, but it was free, so you don't have to pay me for that. But listen, when life goes south, and I promise you, for everyone in the room, one day life will go south. When life goes south, it's even worse when it happens in a holiday season. Ask any parent who's lost a child around Christmas, or ask anyone who's gotten sick around Christmas. It is harder when it's a holiday, especially one of the big ones. That's why tonight, Blue Christmas, that's my plug. Come join us for Blue Christmas. It's an amazing service. Pastor CJ is going to knock it out of the park tonight. So listen, if that's you, especially this during this Christmas season, if your life seems to be seasoned with unmet expectations. You are in good company because back in the day, they had some really big expectations. They were looking, I'm talking they in Jesus' day, they were expecting the Messiah. They were the anointed king. For hundreds of years, they watched and they waited. And for hundreds of years, silence from God. Nothing. No king, no Messiah, nothing. And then, out of nowhere, God shows up in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel appeared to her and said, "Greetings to you. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Look, even Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it happen to me according to your word." And then the angel left. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the words of my heart, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Help them to be pleasing in your sight today. Give us your grace and your peace as we understand your word and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's important that we understand what a king is. I want to spend a minute there. A king is an absolute ruler with absolute power. Human kings get corrupted by absolute power. I mean, you go back to King Saul, King David, King Solomon, and you go all the way through to King Herod, who was around when Jesus was born, King Herod. Listen, they had some really bad kings. But even the best kings get corrupted. Even the best kings are flawed. There were no good kings because there are no good people. But kings had power. They could take your stuff. They could take your children. They could force you into their service. They could execute you. They had authority over you. They could walk through your door as if they owned your door. Because in reality, they owned your door, your house, and everything in it, including you. It was a big deal back in the day. We don't get that today. That is not our culture today. 249 years ago, we fought a revolution to not have a king. And we don't have a king. We have a president, okay? We have senators. We have mayors. We have representatives. We have committees. We vote. We discuss. We argue. We even draft up organization charts. Everyone in the right place. Everyone in the proper place. And when a politician does it do what we want? We unelect them. We the people. We have the power. We the people. We the people does not exist in the presence of a king. It doesn't exist. In a kingdom, the king has the only say. That's hard for us to process in our current culture. Back in the day, that's what they had. They had a king, which brings us to that first Christmas. They expected a new king that would deliver them from Roman rule. They expected a king that would fit their system, validate their rules, and operate on their terms. They wanted a king they could influence and control. They demanded a king that they deemed worthy of their loyalty. That king had to be from the right place, noble blood, powerful persona, the right neighborhood, from their neighborhood. Surely, God would send them a king that would fit. But the king they got was unlike anything they were ready for. They got a baby born to a working class, lower middle class, low class family from an obscure town. No fireworks, no parade, no fanfare. Just a silent, ordinary night. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They expected a parade. They got no announcement except for the most unlikely groups. To Mary and Joseph, the angel announced the coming of the king. To the shepherds, an army of angels erupted to announce the arrival of the king. But to the elites, to the average church-going person of the day, to the politicians, silence. They got nothing until the wise men showed up and told them that a king had come. That was how God announced his king. What they wanted was their king, a king created in their image. What they got was God's king. Before you and I sit in judgment, isn't that kind of what we want? I mean, listen. Jesus, the Savior, is amazing. But Jesus, the King who can do all of that, who has authority over me, that can be uncomfortable. Or sometimes terrifying. Sometimes terrifying. For us today, we water down Jesus in very subtle ways, very religiously subtle ways, ways that sound theologically great. We call him Savior. He is Savior. We call him Savior. We call him God's Son, Counselor, Teacher, Rabbi, even Lord. We call him all of these things. All of these things. But we fail to understand that it can get really messy and it can damage you theologically, is all of these things are part of who he is, but they function under the identity of him as your king. He is a king with authority. I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of make this personal and all, and I hope she doesn't kill me. I didn't really tell her about this, but so, yeah. No. Yeah. He's read it. That's why he says go. Yeah, she's in the back. So my wife, Ginger. So if you know us, right, we'll have people over to the house. We have a group that meets on Sunday nights. We have sometimes a group that meets on Monday nights. Anyway, one of the things that God has blessed us with is we just let people come over to the house and hang, right? And if you ever come over to the house and, you know, during mealtime, chances are Ginger has prepared the meal. I'm very basic, right? I have a very limited menu. I'm very basic. Ginger prepares the meal. But listen, I would never introduce you to Ginger, my cook. And if that's you, man and husband in the room, Isaac, if that's you, dude, good. Have wisdom beyond your years. Don't ever go there. Never do that. Okay? There's therapy for you. There's hope. You need a team. You don't need a counselor. You need a team working this one out. Because I'm telling you, the fact that you're still sitting here is amazing grace right there. Don't ever do that. She is not she's my wife. To my kids, she's mom. Everything else functions under that. Just like Jesus the King, everything functions under that, and he is the eternal King. We live in a culture built on validating ourselves. We vote, we have choice, we have personal authority. All of it influences what we think, how we think, and all of it influences how we think about God. But in the kingdom of God isn't built on balance or negotiations. It's built on the rule of a king whose word is final. Jesus is not an elected leader. He is your sovereign king. He is my sovereign king. We the people will never stand in the presence of Jesus the King. Never. They didn't see it this way. And it's hard for us to see it like that too. We want rights. We want our way. We want to fight to overthrow Jesus so that we can replace him by sitting on the throne ourselves. The problem is, reality check, you make a horrible king. You're neither omniscient nor omnipotent. You make a terrible king. Most of the time, you can't even get yourself to work without your iPad. I'm telling you, okay? Seriously, I couldn't get myself to places in Paducah without my phone, all right? That's how horrible we would be as kings. Jesus is the only good king. Jesus, human beings put themselves first. Jesus put others first. Jesus acted on the benefit of the kingdom, not for the benefit of himself. We're not like that. Jesus was kingdom motivated, and that's good news for you and me. That's great news for you and me, because Jesus is a king. He is a good king. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal God, the Son, and he has authority of an eternal king. And because of that, you can trust him with your circumstances. In Mark chapter 4, we get this story, 4:39. Jesus, he woke up in a boat. It was a storm, and he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and he says, "Be quiet and still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. In John chapter 5, verse 8, he walks into this, basically a hospital, and he looks at a guy who's been paralyzed for a very long time. He says, "Hey, man, you want to get well?" The guy says, "Well, yeah, I want to get well." He says, "Let's take up your mat and walk." Circumstances. He's king of your circumstances. Whether it's nature or job or finances, health, relationship, your past, whether you're suffering, whether your future looks bleak, you got an addiction you can't get rid of. He's king of that. Regardless of what's going on in your life, you can trust the king that has authority over your circumstances. You can also trust the king that brings you peace with God, which they didn't see back in the day, and it's kind of hard for us to see also. They were looking toward the cross. We look back at the cross. But that was your biggest problem. That was their biggest problem. It wasn't Rome. It was the fact that they were going to die in their sins and go to hell for eternity if someone didn't fix the problem. Jesus brought us peace with God, the Son of God. God the Son became flesh and dwelt among us. Then the Son of God went to the cross and died for us. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Son of God became that final sacrifice from our sins. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 said that God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that you and me could be the righteousness of God. And finally, we can trust that the king has power to give you hope. Right before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he looked at Lazarus' sister and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live." Jesus has authority over death. Jesus, the Lord of your circumstances, the Savior who gives you peace, is the King who brings you hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for your future. So as we wrap this up, we'll finish my story. I'm sitting there in the living room, 10 years old, distraught, crying beyond my ability to explain to you, thinking that my grandmother, who I lived with, had taken me in, didn't love me anymore. And she saw me. I mean, it was busy time. Everybody's all over the place. It's busy time. She sees me and she comes up and she sits down beside me and she says, "Carl, what's going on? What's wrong?" And I just uttered the words, "You know, you didn't, why didn't you get me the toy I wanted? What are you?" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" She was confused. And I'm like, "I wanted that spaceship you didn't get." And she had this moment. And she got up. She made a phone call. And she left. Now, this is Christmas Eve. There's nothing open. Nothing open. Okay? Try to get through this. She called her boss. She worked at a bank. I used to, you know, I would snoop. She wanted that awesome present to be a surprise, the last present that I got. She had it in the bank vault. She went, she got it, she brought it, she gave it to me. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. I can't imagine what was going through her head. I'm sure she washed it away as a 10-year-old being a 10-year-old. I hope she did. We never spoke of it again, ever. Never spoke of it again, but I don't have that toy anymore. I don't even know what happened to that toy. I probably sold that toy at a yard sale, or my brother sold it at a yard sale. If you're listening, that's on you. So I don't have that toy anymore. But what I have is a memory that'll last a lifetime. She's not with us anymore. She died 20 years ago of a stroke and an aneurysm because she had a heart condition that was failing her. She's not with us anymore. But I'll never forget the moments and the relationship. I'll never forget the time. Listen, Christian in the room, if you have a relationship with the King of the universe, focus on the giver of the gift. It's not about the gift. It's not about the stuff. It's about the giver of the gift. Trust the King who has authority over your circumstances. I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know. We have a lot of people right now dealing with some serious health stuff. We have a lot of people right now dealing with just some dark stuff. Listen, I don't know why you've been called to the path you've been called. I don't know why God has put you or me on the path we're on. But what He's promised is He will walk with us down that path and never let us go, never leave us. Not one minute, not one moment. Hard? Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Fair? Nah, it's not fair. It's not fair. Worth it? I got to think so. If you focus on the giver and the relationship with the King and not the stuff the King provides. If you focus on the relationship, it will always be worth it. And remember, He did not stop the worst possible event from happening to the best possible person. He endured a cross so that He could take the crown, the eternal crown, back and with it, having a relationship with you that will last eternity. That's how far he was willing to go. That's why you can trust the King. And when you trust the King, you always have peace, hope, and a future. Shame, drama, looking over your shoulder, they have no place in the presence of Jesus, your King. Those are man-made, satanically inspired obstacles that will keep you from God. Reject them. There is no shame. There is no looking over your shoulder. There is nothing but the love and forgiveness of your King. And he has the authority to give you forgiveness. The beginning of that relationship is to surrender to his kingship. So as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, I want to tell you, if that's not you, if that's not you, if you're here and you say, listen, or if you're watching on TV or internet, you say, listen, that's not me. I don't have this relationship with this King, man. I'm my own King. I want to clear something up to you. You don't crown Jesus as King. He is King. The beginning of the relationship is to surrender to him as King. Repent of who you have been, change directions, and in faith, follow the King. If that's you and you want to take that first step, I'm going to offer you a minute to just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to take that first step. All right, as we stand and we close out this amazing Christmas service, Christian in the room, if you're battling with something, if you want somebody to pray with you, the pastor team will be down front. We would love nothing more than to pray with you and talk with you. Remember, it's not about the stuff. It's about your King. Surrender to your King. Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you would give us your grace and your peace as we move through this holiday season. In Jesus' name, amen.